Citizen comments? All right, seeing none, there was a request to move one item on the agenda, one of the appointments, Jim Hawkins, to the top of the agenda. He apparently has a prior commitment that he would like to keep, so unless there's some objection, I would move that to the next item. All right, Jim. This is number nine, appointment of James Hawkins to the Civil Service Commission. And Bob, do you want to present that?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Welcome to all committee members. My name is Bob Riedel. I'm the Personnel Director for County Government. I am also the County Representative of the Civil Service Commission. The Civil Service Commission's job is to interview and to hire and make promotions for all sworn deputy sheriffs and sheriff's department employees in county government. And we are nominating tonight Mr. Jim Hawkins to be the fifth member of the five-member commission. Part of his responsibilities will be to conduct interviews with the other four members, myself and the chief deputy. He will vote on who gets hired and who doesn't, who gets promoted and who doesn't. It is a position of large responsibility, which is outlined in the civil service ordinance that you have passed on a number of occasions. Mr. Hawkins is a lifelong Kenoshan. He is a 42-year veteran of the Kenosha News, recently retired, and did work on the Police and Fire Commission for the city, among many other interesting and important community groups. And so it's my pleasure to present, as a nominee for the Civil Service Commission, Mr. Jim Hawkins.
Second.
There's been a motion to approve here in a second. Jim, is there anything that you want to say to the committee?
Well, I just want to point out that I worked in the advertising department of the Kenosha News. I saw some looks.
Yeah.
I did not write stories or other part of it. Sold advertising for 42 years. For 17, I was a salesman, and in the last 25, I was a manager and retired as advertising sales manager. I was born and raised in Kenosha. I've been involved in the community. I love the community in all senses. And if there are any questions, I'd be more than glad to answer them for you.
Thank you. Ron?
Jim served on the Police and Fire Commission for 5 years, and he was chairman, too, so well qualified.
Good. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Very good. It passes, and we'll circulate the resolution, and thank you for your attendance.
Thank
and
you.
This will go before the board next Tuesday.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. The next item on the agenda would be committee reports or comments, committee members.
Did you have any reports?
No. Anyone? No. No. All right, then we'll move on to the next item, the minutes.
Move to approve.
Okay. Second. Discussion on that item? Seeing none, all those in favor of the minutes? Aye.
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 Next item is the CABA report, and that's Tina Schmidt. Tina.
Good evening. Tina Schmidt with Kenosha Area Business Alliance. You have the report that involves the four county small funds, and there's a report in here for each fund that shows the activity for the first quarter of 2014. We have not issued any new loans in the first quarter. We have dispersed funds. We have dispersed $500,000 to Kennel Manufacturing, which had been previously communicated that that loan deal. So right now we have no other loan activity. We do have some committed funds that we are looking to disperse from the EDA, CKC, and the County Revolving Loan Fund. Our loan committee back in April just approved a $1.6 million loan to Allied Plastics, which is out in Twin Lakes. They are a previous borrower of CABA and have been an excellent company as far as loan capacity and their previous loans were allowed them to expand and double their production. So we are looking to provide them a loan of $1.6 million. You'll see that in the next quarter report, but that was just approved in April. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Jeff?
Todd, a little bit after our last meeting, how much is exactly still uncommitted in the high impact fund?
Well, we have $1 million of that is dispersed to Hannah Sillinger, Bradshaw Medical, and Kennel. So we are working with Niagara and another company at this time. We'd like to utilize more of the high impact. I know that 1.5 has been committed.
What was the first column?
Over a number of years. But we are looking to utilize more of those funds if they become available sooner.
How much is the balance?
There is no balance.
There's no.
It's all zero.
Okay.
So what is what are our options?
What was the first column?
As a board, I thought we set up like another $500,000 or something.
Yeah, you did.
Can you refresh me on that?
Yeah. Do you want me to?
Sure. Go ahead.
So the board approved a $250,000 in the 2014 budget. And then if there's an immediate need for another project, we have the authority administratively to issue another $250,000. So up to a total of $500,000, we could do anything above that we would have to bring back to the board. As far as approvals, we would have to get a budget amendment, but the bonds are all approved, so we wouldn't have to go through that.
So this isn't really in CAVA's hands at this point. I mean, if they got somebody, they couldn't really negotiate with it because they'd have to come to us and get it. Am I correct in that?
Well, we don't disperse the money to them until they get the deal done and they're ready for the money anyway. So,
okay.
But we legally are authorized administratively to send up to $500,000 over to them.
So if they're in the middle of negotiation with somebody, they can speak that as if that money is going to come.
Yes.
Clear.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you foresee us needing anything over the $250,000 or $500,000 at this point in time with people who are in the pipeline?
With what we're working on in the pipeline, I could see us utilizing $1 million in the next 6 months. Becomes available, it'd be quite useful for the deals that we're working on.
So, and we've only got $500,000.
Well, we would bring that back to the board.
Thank you.
Yes, could you clarify for me on the loan fund advance receivable analysis schedule? What the story is with Paddock Lake Heights?
Yes, that loan is in default. It's been in default all of 2013. And our attorney has been working with, there's a receiver that's been appointed that the buildings out in Paddock Lake, they recently signed a deal or a listing agreement to list those buildings for sale. The building in question that would be collateral on this particular loan is going to be listed for just under $900,000, which is below. We have a second mortgage on that loan, and there's a first mortgage with Tolmer Bank. So if it did sell for that sale price, that would satisfy the first mortgage and probably not all of the second mortgage.
Thank you.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll close that and part of the meeting, and thank you for coming.
Do we need a receipt and file?
We can. It's not necessary, but if you
want. Okay, I'll move to receive and file that report.
I'll second.
Discussion on that point? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, the next item is the resolution to approve the Yule House sale. The purchase contract, Joe, are you going to take care of that?
Well, I think
introduce Tony DiBartolo, who is the real estate broker that has been working on this matter for the county. He was hired through the RFP process. The resolution is obviously before you. We had an offer, which in the opinion of Mr. DiBartolo was a good offer and certainly the best that we had seen. Brought that to Public Works Committee last week. It was approved with certain contingencies.
Tony, do you want to say anything?
Well, for the offer, obviously you have it in front of you, it's 267. Buyers from California. It is contingent on the sale of his home in San Diego. It is on the market for the last 6 days. They've had activity on it. You know, once he sells the house, he's paying cash for the property. The hot market there, of the three offers, this was the best offer we had. The other one was a land contract, and the other one was $100,000, so well below what we were asking. The opinion, the feedback, we've had over 30 showings on the property. So it's not like we haven't had any showings on the property. We had tons of showings, and it just needs a lot of work. And we found somebody that wants to turn it back to a residential home. So basically, it is also contingent on the rezoning of the property from institutional to residential, which fits the market or the area where this house is located.
Tony, I suggested to Joe, because I didn't see it in the agreement that you provide here, that they're buying it in an as-is condition.
Technically, it's not in the contract as-is, but I believe in the state of Wisconsin, anything you buy really is an as-is condition. He has the right to do an inspection.
I don't have a problem with the inspection, but I would certainly require, as a supervisor, that we sell it as-is, because there are many known and unknown problems there, and I would suggest that it include that provision. And I spoke to Joe about that. We don't want to hear about it later. If he has a problem with buying it now, find something wrong that triggers him to withdraw, that's okay. But once the sale is done, we don't want him coming back and saying, well, we didn't know about this, that, and the other thing, and look to us to help fund some improvement. I think this is absolutely necessary. And he's getting a very good price on possibly a very good home.
Do whatever you guys want. If you guys want to add it, we add it. I talked to the buyer about it. His only issue was, he knows he has the right, he can do his inspection, which he has 30 days, and he'll do one, is that he really wanted to get a home warranty on the house. And where he's from, after selling the house as is, the home warranty company will not provide a home warranty on it. Well, so that, it might be an issue.
Yeah.
But
we don't want, from our perspective, an issue later on. And that's from my perspective. I'm not going to vote for it unless it says as is. Once he accepts it, closes it, it's as is. He wants to back out before his inspection shows something important, some big defect. You know, that's understandable. But we don't want to have a lawsuit later or a negotiation later. That's my suggestion to the committee. Right.
Not being in real estate or know anything about it, no, he's buying this on condition that he sells his property.
Correct.
Now, is this contract he signed with us, if he sells his property, he has to buy it? Or is he back out?
He still has the right to do the inspections.
Is there a penalty if he doesn't, if everything goes okay?
Yeah, I mean, we
approve this, and he decides he doesn't, even though he sells his house, he can still back out, right?
After all the deadlines, after his inspection period, after the inspection period, if he backs out, then you have the right. If he doesn't want to close down, you have the right to sue him. But
he could still back out.
Mm-hmm. Ed's anytime.
Anytime. Yeah. I'm just checking. Yeah. I don't know about
that. Yeah, no, yeah. Back out anytime.
So what are we approving this for ahead of time? I mean,
you got to accept the offer, though.
Accept the offer, okay. But in the meantime, what's an offer if you got no guarantee you're going to get it? Even if you do,
that's in any home sale.
Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Jeff.
In any home sale, anybody can back out at any point in time. I mean, and then you decide whether or not you want to assume at that point in time if the certain deadlines have been passed. So that's really standard.
Not being in real estate, that's why I asked.
And it's a valid question. My concern, which I went right to Carol with after our last meeting, was keeping this house on the market while we're waiting for inspections and things to happen with a sale in California. So, and she assured me that you were going to keep it on the market. I know from my days in real estate, sometimes things slack off after there's an accepted offer, and I really want to make sure that, you know, we're coming up on the quality time, you know, of selling, at least when there was a quality time back in the day. And I don't want to see us, you know, go through summer and through fall with stringing something along. So what I would recommend also is that Carol or somebody keep us updated on a, you know, every other month at least to know, you know, and I can appreciate you saying the market's hot in San Diego. I have no clue what the market's like in San Diego. I don't know that any market's too hot, but if you say it is, you know, that's great. And if they sell it, that's also great. They buy cash, they move on. But I really don't want to see any slack in what we're doing to move this house. So.
And there's a short window in the time of the sale. So
it's not says no later than June 15th.
Right, yeah. So it's not a long period of time that we gave them to sell this house.
Okay.
And you know how it is, a couple, you know, being the real estate business, is that once something, you have to let them know there is an offer on the house. And you know how people back off, obviously, when there's an offer. So yes,
yeah, that's why I would shrink it down.
Right, it's still continuing marketing this other property, yes.
Rick, did you have something?
Yeah, I was going to make a motion to approve with the added language as is where required, and make a motion to approve the contract.
All right, is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, discussion, John?
I just want to clarify with you, Tony. Does your buyer think that his dates starts on 5/6 for the 30 days inspection?
I told him today it started when it was signed.
When we sign it?
Yeah.
Okay, because the contract was signed by Carol on the 6th, but we're signing it, we're being on it tonight, so his time frame wouldn't start till now.
Right.
Okay.
Is there enough time to do the rezone?
It's 60 days to get it rezoned, so we might have to extend it.
It's going down, though. That
shouldn't be a problem.
It shouldn't be an issue. I can talk to the city, and it's a no-brainer.
Okay.
Because everything around here is
going to get it back on the time.
And I know Joel's concern and Carol's is that if this guy doesn't buy it, we don't want to rezone it back to residential. So, to residential. We want to keep it in IP. And basically, that wouldn't get recorded unless he owned the house. So it would always stay at that zoning.
All right, further discussion? Jeff?
So in your discussions with your buyer, do you think that's going to be a stumbling block to them for us to add an as-is clause?
You know, he told me it's not a deal breaker today, is what he told me.
He said it's not.
Right. Okay. So just got to get a real good inspection.
So if I can clarify what the motion is to the maker of the motion, you want to approve the contract subject to an amendment to the accepted contract that says it's going to be purchased as is.
Correct.
Is that, that's what I'm understanding.
Yes.
Okay. All right, further discussion? Yeah, that would be in essence a counteroffer. Yeah. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the proposal as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
All
right. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. All right, we'll move on then to the next item, the health department, health ranking. Cindy.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, everyone, committee members. I appreciate the invitation to present the information on the health rankings. I listened to the previous recording, so I included information specific to what was requested. I trust that everyone had an opportunity to take a look at the three documents that were sent ahead of time. The county, the 2014 county health ranking summary, which has two pages. There was a document on the rankings, a summary, and also I sent a copy of our Healthy People Kenosha County 2020. It's hot off the press, May 2014, as a status report. So those three documents help support what I'm handing out as an additional piece of information to tie everything in. There's a level of detail which I'll kind of just go over at whatever degree that the members are comfortable with. But I want to start out, and there's 12 copies, so probably be a couple of extra. Start out by saying that the health department is supported through several funding sources, several funding mechanisms. One is levy funds, and the health department, unlike other county divisions or sections, we're not 100% levy funded. We have additional funding sources that we draw from. Our levy is 21% of our total budget. And in addition, we have federal and state grants, and those grants total, or the federal grants, they total 57% of our total budget. And then the last 23% is license, permits, fees, and so that totals the 100%. So it's the question of the number of times that the health department comes before for approval of funding. Absolutely, because 57% of our budget is through grants that we have secured, that we have proactively taken on through opportunities that have come before us, or that we're required to through state, federal, pass-through dollars for state contracts. And on the document that I gave you, you'll see that there are, it's broken down into several categories, and they really describe our core functions. The core functions of public health are three areas. They're assessment, policy development, and assurance. And the beginning of the document, the first three columns, which include the health rankings report that I gave you and the measures, would be the assessment piece. And it also is what influences health in our community. The next two columns are our community health improvement plan, which is titled Healthy People Kenosha County. And that was this document that you received. And in addition, a description of our programs. The final two columns are the resolutions, the state statutes, and then our current status of those programs and services that we're providing. That would be the evaluation piece, the assurance level of what we're doing within public health. These are our outcome measures. They're the measurements of our success for the programs that we implement. In addition, that third document that I sent you, that was several pages, this was the beginning of it. If you had a chance to take a look at the last, or it's actually the second to last page, page seven, I really want to draw attention to the 2014 health rankings are based on data sets that are from anywhere from 2005 to 2013. But the majority of these data sets to assemble the 2014 health rankings are from 2006 to 2011. That's the majority of the data that reflects our 2014 rankings. And then that determines where we sit within all of the other 72 counties within the state of Wisconsin. So our assessment piece, those first two columns, really are looking at how we monitor, diagnose, and evaluate the programs and services or the problem, the health issues within our community. And we, in addition to the health rankings, we do a community health assessment. Every 5 years, we're charged statutorily to do a community health assessment. In addition, we utilize the health rankings to identify the health problems, to prioritize those health problems in our community. Our policy development, that would be our community health improvement plan, enforcement that we do within our community, and also research that we are involved in. And that would be bringing forward evidence-based programs and also innovative ideas that we have brought forth through our practice, our public health practice. The assurance piece is where we link the people in our community to the programs and services or the resources that are available. It also ties in with providing a competent workforce, which includes training of our workforce. And it's also informing and educating our community and mobilizing our community partners. And that's a big piece of what we do, is partnership within our community to bring the problems to the forefront, to have convening, which would be our Healthy People Kenosha County, that consists of a multitude of multi-sector partners within our community. And Supervisor Dodge, along with Jenny Tunkeys, are the co-chairs for our Healthy People Kenosha County, our Community Health Improvement Plan. And that document that I've supplied gives you an idea of all of the goals and objectives and the strategies that the committee members have selected in order to address the health problems in our community. I also want to mention that we do have social determinants of health that impact our community. And they are identified in the health rankings. Those would be untreated health conditions of our community members. They would also include homelessness, traumatic stress, risky sexual behavior, aggressive and violence, hunger and food insecurity also are wrapped into the health rankings report. For an adolescent, the social determinants of health, an adolescent outcomes that they would project would be disciplinary issues within their school. It could also be absenteeism and STDs within our community. The teen birth rate could also be correlated in there. Just drilling down a little bit further, another example would be untreated childhood asthma. A physician would prescribe the medication to a child. That's a primary care provider, but then the child goes to their home. They might have tobacco smoke in their home. They might have infestations, dust mites. All those factors do relate to their asthma, that even though they're prescribed medication, they might be able to access the medication, but they still might have untreated asthma, which is one of the number one emergency room visits within our community, asthma, not only for children, but for adults. So then taking a look at the document that I gave you, the health rankings were developed through a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and also the University of Wisconsin Public Health Institute. Wisconsin has been providing health rankings for about 10 years. Nationally, though, they have only been in effect for the last 4 to 5 years. So now we, if you haven't gone on, it's a really slick website. You can Google health rankings, county health rankings. It's a map of the United States. You click on Wisconsin, and then you can click on any county. Click on Kenosha, and you can find all of the reports that I supplied you. And it also provides another layer of detail that addresses each specific health ranking, just to give you some more further information of what is that particular indicator, that factor, what are they really driving at in order to come to that conclusion. So it gives you that level of detail. Going on to the report that I supplied today, the health outcomes are divided 50% each by length of life and quality of life. And what's occurring in Kenosha is people are living longer, but they're sicker. Our length of life, our years of potential lost life are affected by infant mortality. So those that die very young, before their first birthday or even stillbirths. It also includes those deaths through suicide, unintentional poisonings, and also, of course, natural deaths that occur before age 75. Back in 2005, I had taken a look at a report that in Kenosha County, the average age that an African American was dying was 55 years of age. I found that to be quite astounding. And that was one of the reasons that we implemented a grant through the Minority Health Office, which then we secured the Black Health Coalition, which then led to the infant mortality delegation, determining that we had high number of infant mortality in Kenosha County, which then we secured the very first program that's listed is the Kenosha Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families. So that actually, all of the data sets, the assessment, went much earlier than we actually achieved receiving the grant dollars. And this grant has been very successful. It not only led to our infant mortality rate in Kenosha, especially for the African American population, is starting to reduce. But also we secured additional dollars, $650,000, that not only a portion goes to the health department, but also three other community partners are participating in enhancement programs. The health department, it has secured money to address dismantling racism initiative. Tomorrow at the museum, we'll be holding a summit. We hope that you would attend, but between 9 and 4, we will be at the museum and bringing all of the information over this past year about this grant, the resources, the information that we've acquired to determine if our community is ready to start addressing racism, to dismantle racism. A program that we are going to be bringing forward is called Courageous Conversations. And so that would be a continuation for the grant dollars to bring to our community to start addressing the implementation of a program called Courageous Conversations, which currently the Unified School District is implementing. And it may be one of the reasons why we just recently saw that our graduation rate is increasing, especially in the African American population. I'll move a little bit further. Length of life. We've had our suicide prevention grant for quite a few years, since 2005. We've been very fortunate that over the last 9 years, and it'll continue another three, so until 2017, that for the last, it'll be 12 years, that we received dollars from the medical college, the Healthier Wisconsin Partnership Program. These are really prime dollars. They are the gold standard. And so we've been addressing this issue. It started out with the teen deaths that we had from Bradford High School. We then addressed, further drilled down with death data to identify that adults, especially males who are divorced between the ages of 40 to 55, often in the trades, were committing suicide. And then further drilled into that we have high number of unintentional poisoning deaths in our community. And over the last 2 years, each year we've had over 40 poisoning deaths in Kenosha County, unintentional poisoning deaths. Huh. That is the leading number one item or death indicator in Kenosha County. It is more deaths that the medical examiner has investigated than the natural deaths of cardiac disease.
So what would poisoning be? What would give an example?
Opiates.
Hmm?
Opiates, heroin. It's a good number.
Heroin. Yeah. So you call that poison.
I figured it was drugs.
Yep. Are your medical examiner, she finds individuals with the needle still left in their arm, they have died very suddenly. So this is, we're now currently looking at these high number of unintentional poisoning deaths that are occurring in our community. Questions? I've already kind of I'll take a pause if I see some, you know, there's some conversation or some questions.
No, I was thinking that was more of a drug overdose.
Well, that's what it is. Unintentional poisoning is toxicity deaths. It's due to drug overdoses, but they call it, it's labeled poisonings. It's not called to the poison center, even though that might be some people think that. It's drug overdoses. So it's a high problem.
I got a question, but it's not, it's about, you know, we all read that the state of Wisconsin decided not to go along with the Fed program, so we are, all these people were kicked off of, you know, the state programs and stuff. And maybe you can have, at the end or something, you can fill us in on where that is, because, you know, being on Medicare and may have a supplement, I'm not affected by it, but
to.
I know there's a lot of people that lost their insurance because of that. So maybe you can fill us in at the end, okay?
I'd be happy to.
What the numbers, what I'm looking for was that the numbers of people who lost their insurance because of what the state did. That's what I'm looking for.
Sure, sure. Yes, Chairman.
What year did you find that the average African-American male died at 55?
2005. So it's very close to the data that we're looking at, our health rankings. You see, so even though it's 2014, it's very old data. What we are doing now in our community will not be reflected for 6 to 8 years in our health rankings. So that's a real adjustment when you're looking at information and a clarification as to what data sets that are being evaluated to determine where we sit.
If you compare the population as a whole and say, well, in what year was the average male's life expectancy 55, you'd probably have to go back 100 years.
Overall?
Yes, overall.
But at that point in time, that's set at that age, at that year, that's what it reflected.
Yeah.
That data set for African Americans. It was quite an eye opener.
Okay. Yeah.
But you have to remember the infant mortality rate was also very high, which affected the overall of those individuals 75 years and younger. So it diluted their life expectancy overall in the population. Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, I happen to feel strongly about the mental health pieces that we have in place and the numbers as they're going. And I'm really concerned about us doing as much as we can in those areas, because I can see that being a very, very high dollar down the road when you get into those. I saw it when I sat on the Human Services Committee, and it's only getting worse. And I just think it's something, and I've been frantically trying to look through all this documentation and figure out, you know, where we are in programs with that. But I think, certainly everything else that you're mentioning is very important, but I think that's just something that is really huge that we're going to have to be addressing more and more.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And as we further understand mental health issues, and as you can see, they identified the number of days that an individual, they feel mentally unhealthy or they're physically unhealthy. Those are two areas that wrap into a person's well-being, physical or emotional well-being. And what we see are the outcome of unhealthy, mentally unhealthy individuals. They're self-medicating through drugs and alcohol, where our binge drinking, our drinking numbers are high, our deaths due to poisoning, drug overdoses. We also see our STDs are very elevated. We see teen birth rates elevated. These are all indicators of other underlying issues that are going on in an individual that come out in the behaviors that we're recognizing. And so what we're trying to do through collaborating with our partners is drilling further down, getting to root cause, because you can't just treat superficially. You really have to identify what is the underlying cause. Traumatic stress. The life course of an individual from birth to death, there are significant events, stress events, that can actually impact an individual for how they behave later on. Right now, there's current research with adverse childhood events. They call it ACEs, A-C-E, adverse childhood events. These adverse childhood events could include divorce, which a lot of kids live in divorced families, but it could also be sexual abuse, emotional, physical abuse. It could be having an alcoholic parent. It could be living in poverty, which many single mothers live in poverty. That's one of the health indicators. We have a high number of single moms. So we're looking at the correlation with these ACEs and with the health within our community. The courageous conversation, when we talk about racism and bringing forward the idea of racism and the whether they're overt or covert expressions of racism, that bringing any events in an individual's childhood, whether you're of a race, black or brown race, Asian, or white, but having those conversations, you can share those events to then eliminate or have a better understanding of any judgmental issues or even unrecognized body responses that you might have to an individual, rolling your eyes, not glancing at them face to face, but really underlying conditions that would a child might see as a teacher, that they are not being treated like another child. Now that individual who is white might say, I'm not racist at all. I would never say that. But their emotional responses or their physical responses of their body language might actually be giving off a sense that they're uncomfortable with a child of color. And so that's what the courageous conversations, trying to drill down at how do we mend some of those events that may go back to individuals through their childhood. For myself, living in Milwaukee in the 1960s and seeing that the civil rights, the unrest that occurred, the cars that were overturned and burning, and reading about this information, the curfews that went on, that's a significant event, and that can impact a child having an understanding or lack of understanding for people of race. So that's just kind of an example of, to get to mental health, it's kind of a long, but it's drilling through a lot of data sets and information.
And I think we should, on Human Services, take a look at what we're doing to drill down, and not just with the racism thing, but with other things and situations as well. I think it's going to be very important to us in the near future. I look at this chart you have here. I look at this chart you have here, and I'm looking at Mental Health Substance Abuse Resource Center contacts, 2008, 1968, 2013, 2983. I mean, in a 10-year span, we're going to almost double. We're going to double the amount of contacts to that. So I just think, and you're right, you could just try to say, hey, don't drink, don't do substance abuse. But I think drilling down to the underlying factors, I mean, it's not like when I was a kid and I just wanted to have fun. I mean, there are reasons for this kind of stuff happening. I also am concerned by this last line here that says by 20, Kenosha County residents will have a greater understanding of mental illness and where they can go for assistance. And under current status, it says NA. What does that mean?
Which,
Page 7 of one of the things you gave.
Oh, was it the large document? Oh, okay. It may have been that they're working on the data set. So this is the improvement report, our community improvement report. And The current status, if you read the objective, when we worked with the committee members, we worked with them to try to achieve that they would write SMART objectives, that they were measurable. You can see how that's worded, we'll be aware. It is, how do you know if the households are aware? So that's, we're using the survey report, which is done by a telephone survey. Our community health assessment is a telephone survey, and a select, a randomized number of individuals, they're asked these questions. That's when we can have current status. So currently, we don't know to date of from 2013, the number of households that are aware, but when we do the next telephone, randomized telephone survey for our community health assessment, we'll be able to add to that data set.
So it's just incomplete. You're compiling the numbers.
Correct.
Okay.
But that's a good question, and what I want to say is thank you for the health department to be able to move into further technology, because as you can see, accumulating data, real-time data, to be able to give you information and measurements of what's currently going on and not outdated data is critical for decision making, for funding, for how we're being efficient with the dollars within our community. And resources, they're shrinking. From 2005 to now, you can't make judgments for next year's budget based on such old data of 06 to 2011. So technology assists us in order to collect these data sets that are real-time information so that we have better assessment tools to make these determinations and to help funding to keep it more efficient.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rick?
Yeah, it's just two items I'd like to mention. I recently found out that there are no psychiatrists in Kenosha County that are taking new patients, which might be a problem. And also, down the road, I think it's important for residents of Kenosha County that going to many of your meetings, I learned that they project that the combative dementia numbers in the future are going to expand quite rapidly.
Correct.
And right now, any family in Kenosha that has a member that's diagnosed with combative dementia, I think has to go all the way up to Madison to Mendota. And while we may be talking about expanding some facilities around here, down the road, I think we're going to need to deal with combative dementia, so our people of Kenosha County don't have to go all the way up to Madison to see their family when they find themselves in that situation. So something to keep in mind.
Regarding those two remarks, your first one regarding psychiatrists, and you'll see on the health rankings report that was a new an addition of the ratio of mental health providers to the population, and we are four times negligent, so to speak, compared to the national goal. The national goal is to have one psychiatrist for 536 individuals. We have one psychiatrist for nearly 2,000 individuals. So we don't nearly have enough service providers for mental health. And the reason is, a lot of the psychiatrists left Kenosha. They could no longer afford to have two offices, in one in Racine and one in Kenosha. They had privileges in Racine County because that's where the hospital was located. And so when the economic recession occurred, they could not keep two offices open. They closed their Kenosha office and maintained their Racine. So we have very few, and that's an access to care issue. People have to drive, they have to then have transportation. So when making these policy decisions, it helps to understand all the reasons why it is really up to the county board supervisors. The health department needs the county board supervisors for moving forward with improving the health of our community. It's critical. I know Supervisor Dodge, he brought forth about plowing the parks during the winter for walking. That directly addresses the ability to exercise in the winter. Chairman Rose, I read that you're seeking to improve, I'm drawing a blank right now, please help me.
I thought just told people.
Minimum wage.
Thank you, thank you. And that directly affects the ability to buy groceries, so I commend you for that. I've been sharing that information that you are seeking to move forward in that particular area because the minimum wage, the lack of dollars that a family can then support themselves for housing, for food, to be able to eat nutritionally, it wraps around all of the poverty issues.
Is there a psychiatrist in our community that'll help people that are on Medicaid?
We have a resource sheet that's on our website that explains the number of counselors in our community and exactly what they will accept in insurance. Now, with the Affordable Care Act, we're going to start seeing a moving floor. We don't know all the pieces yet as all of this unfolds. Some physicians are closing their practice because the reimbursement rate is going to be potentially going less. That draws to the issue of Medicare. They may not be able to support the number of Medicare clients because it can no longer support to keep the lights on. And that's the reason why they don't take a lot of Medicaid, MA, because the reimbursement rate is so low. So these are policy issues that go much beyond the borders of Kenosha.
The question I had on that.
Combative dementia, are you going to comment?
Yes. As the baby boomers, which I'm one of, as we all reach the age, it's going to explode in regards to Alzheimer's and combative dementia, which really falls into the area of Alzheimer's. The state of Wisconsin, our health officer, Karen McEwen, has started an Alzheimer's plan for the state of Wisconsin to address the area of Alzheimer's care, which it is definitely going to explode. We don't have enough geriatric physicians or facilities or respite for the family members that will be taking care of their aging parents or when they can no longer care for them because they're escaping, which is typical, from their home, or they are so bedridden that they can't lift them because potentially they're too obese. They need to have assistance. So you see, these are all pending problems within our community and other communities in addition to ours.
That gets back to the question I asked you, because if I remember, they did expand the Badger Care to April because of the state. The state didn't sign up for the feds.
Right.
So I guess I don't read anywhere where all these people that supposedly lost their insurance, are there numbers someplace?
The numbers are starting to trickle in.
Okay.
We don't have
so
firm numbers, and we don't have firm numbers from the state of Wisconsin yet. The individuals that fall off their other insurance are then to call a navigator, which we have available at the job center. They then determine if their income, they would go into private insurance or whether they would go into the marketplace or whether they would be eligible for medical assistance, which is the state-funded or Badger Care.
So the numbers are, we still don't know.
They're still free-floating.
Because if people are dropping off, your numbers are gonna go up.
Absolutely. And in the health department, the health department is the last server, it's the last, we serve people at the very bottom. We serve the people that no one else wants to take, that safety net in public health. And so that's why the individuals that we see are of a high risk. They're the people that most people don't want. And there are plenty of them here in our community. At last count, we had 33,000 Medicaid individuals. Medicaid, 33,000.
Where?
Kenosha County. So that's what, about one-fifth?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Now that doesn't include how many Medicare, which are also on supplemental insurance form. This all draws to the top to the dollars that are available and how they're distributed within a community.
You know, I found out that there were two different Medicare supplements. I had one, they jacked my premium up to $341 a month. I went to a copay plan that ended up $55 a month. All I have to do is pay a copay if I go to the doctor, so I don't know if a lot of people are aware of that either.
Well, and people are all, they're working on trying to figure this out. The health department then connects people with where they can get the answers.
Yeah.
So aging and disability yeah. would be a place that can help sort some of that information.
But I wasn't aware of it until Obamacare hit, and then all of a sudden I applied, and bingo, the guy saved me.
Well, and you're not alone.
For $4,000 a year, I can make a lot of copays with that.
Right, right. Which then addresses the area of minimum wage, because the insurance, even in the marketplace, is costly. Private insurance is costly. The premiums, the copays are going up. We have individuals that have never dealt with that type of care to pay those type of fees and the ability to pay. So we may see people that choose not to go into the marketplace, that fall into the uninsured, the inability to get on. Or they may need to have supplement. They may have insurance, but they may not have the money to access the care. That's also one of the questions that if you look deeper in the health rankings on those further pages, that people have chosen not to secure health care because they couldn't afford. They may have had the insurance, they couldn't afford to pay it or have the bills, so then they wait until they're also very sick.
Missouri had a rally about a month ago, I saw, where they were the community, the clergy from all walks of life were rallying to the state to get their insurance back, because they felt that if they didn't get this done this year, 700 and some people would die. They had the numbers would die because people didn't have insurance and they couldn't go to get medical care. But it went down anyway, okay, because they just didn't give a damn.
When you're looking at the information and we're talking about the ability to access care and the cost of care, in Kenosha County, the page that I'm looking at actually is on the website for the health rankings, and it gives a more detailed description of our community. To just kind of throw out some information, we have 25% of our people are less than age 18, so very young. We have 12% that are Hispanic. We have 6% that are African American. We have 12% that are 65 and older. The cost of health care in Kenosha County is, the average cost is $9,700+. Now for Ozaukee County, which is number one in the health rankings, their health care costs are less than $8,200. And for Fond du Lac, that sits between Ozaukee and ourselves, which is 64th, Fond du Lac is 32nd on the rankings, the cost of their health care is $8,300.
Kenosha's always been high. Why is that?
So that then when people don't have the money, they can't access care, even if it's here. Even if the psychiatrists are here, if they're available, they might not be able to afford to drive, plus pay the premiums, the co-pays, the cost of the insurance. So I'm sharing this information as we plan ahead and look at potentially escalating problems. We reside in an area of the state between Milwaukee and Chicago. Geographically, we can't change that factor, but that impacts the health of our community because of other, whether it's transportation, whether it's inability to have physicians that locate here. They might want to go to Chicago or Milwaukee instead of us. We have our residents who commute. That is a factor against us, that we're a bedroom community, that we have individuals that commute 30 minutes or more, or they drive in their cars individually.
Do you have Racine numbers?
You can go on that website and you can take a look.
Because they're less than us too.
I've spoken for a great deal of time and...
Been very, very, very informative, I appreciate it.
Thank you. I've given a lot of information. Just recently had prepared this document, which includes our state statutes that we are required as a public health entity in addition to the grants that you asked for. So on this document are all of our grants, the date of the resolutions, and the grants that you approved, and our current status of where we're at and information that we're collecting.
All right, thank you very much. Were there any other comments, Jen?
I'll make a motion to receive and file our Kings County health reports.
Second.
With a thank you.
Thank you very much for your time, and I would welcome the opportunity to come back.
All right, well, good. Thank you, and we'll receive and file the report. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And then we will now move on to the next item, which is the personnel services on wage increase for wage for electricians, heating, ventilating.
Electricians.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Right. 2 years ago in budget process, the county reorganized its maintenance services area. And in that effort, eliminated what we call a chief maintenance person and replaced that vacancy with an HVAC, or a heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional.
Was that at Brookside?
I'm sorry.
Was that at Brookside we did that? Or?
That was countywide.
Countywide, okay.
So the intent was to hire a HVAC professional to provide services to county air conditioning and heating throughout all county buildings. At that time, I would remind you that we had an active union for the maintenance department, and that work for professionals of this sort was somewhat scarce. The union aspect of this can't be lost because we set the wage at the top of the union contract. It had to be negotiated. That's where we negotiated it too, so that chiefs and HVAC and electrician professionals would earn the same amount of money. What we have found in the time since, as the economy has improved, is that the market for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professionals has improved significantly, and we are having a very difficult time finding someone to fill this job. It had been presented to the board in 2011 that we could save money contracting out. In fact, that's the only source of heating and air conditioning support that we have had over the past 2 years. I have researched as personnel director of the Department of Labor and found that our offerings are about $5 below market. So what I'm here to do tonight is ask permission from the Finance Committee and the board to increase the wages for electricians and heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professionals by $5 an hour to remain competitive in the market from which we must draw these professionals. The alternative to doing this is to continue to contract out, which is increasing in cost because it is impacted by the same circumstances of the market that we are. And we would then probably have to look at putting that chief back into the budget. So I'm asking that you'll allow a mid-year adjustment to the budget to allow a $5 increase in the hourly wage. We have an electrician on staff right now. He does great work. It is an experiment which has been very, very successful. Hopefully these increases will allow us to attract an HVAC professional and we'll experience the same positive results.
I move to approve it.
Second.
All right. Just so we're clear. So right now the starting wage is per hour $20.
It's 19. It's in the memo that I wrote. It's about 1966.
So that will go to 2537.
Yes, sir.
And the top is, I see the 32. What is it currently?
2512.
Okay. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Circulate like that. All right, good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And then we're going to the other personnel item with the district attorney's office.
With your permission, I'd like to invite the business.
All right, Bob and Bob.
Stay there, that's fine.
Sure, yeah, sure.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good evening. The resolution that you have before you this evening is a, in part, a restructuring of a position that we had funded last year through this committee and the county board and was placed in the budget for 2014. If you may recall, the need for an investigator was presented to you. I've provided to the county and to your, for your benefit, a position paper that should be attached to the notice or memo for the tonight's meeting. I'd be glad to go through that historical perspective, but what I would do is just indicate that the plan that we came with last year was to put some money in a kitty to see if we could get, attract some retired detectives that would be willing to continue to work after they've retired from the department and any of the law enforcement agencies to work in the DA's office under my authority and direction. And I was probably ambitious to think I could find someone. I did have discussions with a number of retired detectives that would have been qualified and met with my approval. But each and every one of them had the fact that the liability concerns and that the funds that we were identifying were not something that would have been attractive to them. So there were some changes in our office personnel that caused me to take a new look at this and bring it back to the county, in essence asking the county to make this a full-time county position under the district attorney's appointment authority, as opposed to this professional services, a kind of independent contractor position that we were looking at last year. So with that in mind, the county has taken a look at the funding, and no, Director Bob Riedel's here to talk more about the funding aspect of it, which I think supports the position, I think, in terms of the ability to fund it and give us the opportunity to have an investigator in our office. So with that, I would be glad to answer any questions as far as the justification and need to clarify anything with regards to the position paper that I attached. If you haven't had an opportunity to look at that, I do have extra copies for you this evening.
Bob, or Ryan, I'm sorry.
Do you have you have anybody in mind at all that might?
I do.
Okay.
And in part, what has happened is that, and not taking any thunder away from Mr. Riedel.
You can have all my thunder.
No, it's okay. Sandra Bertelli, our victim witness coordinator for many years, retired. And she retired earlier this year, in part to open up some funding available because she would be at, I want to say, the top of the food chain, so to speak. And so as part of the budget reconciliation here, there would be some funds available from her retiring and filling her vacancy with a new person. But within our office, there is somebody, and it's Brian Stute, who is currently a victim advocate, but who has been doing a variety of tasks, multitasking for our office. In lieu of having an investigator, he's been doing a variety of things for our office that would constitute investigative work. He's more than qualified. I'm very pleased to be able to even consider him. He has indicated his interest in this position. So what we're attempting to do now is to open up this position so it becomes a lateral transfer for Mr. Stute. He's on payroll currently and under the county, but he would be then transferred over with your approval and the county board's blessing to an office investigator position, which is the creation of a position that the Bob would be talking about.
The reason I asked is because you said something about a retired, and I know that that Wisconsin retirement system, you get into problems if somebody retires, and so you've got somebody that's already in their system.
When I mentioned I was being a little ambitious, I thought that we might be able, for the small dollars that were put into the budget last year, able to attract one or two retired detectives, and that was not successful.
But does that raise a concern then when you get to the, if they're on Wisconsin retirement through being a retired, what happens then? I mean, like, say you hire somebody that was a county employee before that's now getting the Wisconsin retirement. What, do they just don't get the retirement then, or what? I mean, they have to sign off, or what?
No, they receive their retirement, and you can have a part-time job.
Okay.
You can have
okay.
It in Ocean County. We, up to about a year ago. In fact, when we talked about Civil Service Commission, Civil Service Commission background checks are done by retired detectives from the Sheriff's Department who do that for us on a per background check fee. So we do have them out there. It's not...
Well, I'm on a Wisconsin retirement system, but I just waived, because if I didn't, I would lose my retirement. So yeah. I just waived it because, you know, by my county board salary. So I suspect that anybody can do that. What about the one we got in the joint services that he took over? Wasn't he retired?
Tom Genthner?
Yeah.
He's retired from the city police department.
City police department.
Whether he's discontinued his pension or not, that's...
No, that's not whether. Okay. I'm not just saying it. That does create a concern with available people, you know. The reason that's rare is that I'm glad you got somebody within the department that might feel for it. That's the only reason I asked it.
Jeff? My question is, you said Sandy's retiring, and that creates the opportunity to do this. Are you going to be looking to fill her position in the near future? I mean, is this just something where we're buying time? I mean, so really, it's not a wash. I mean, are you going to come back and look to have that position?
We're not eliminating any positions at all. No, okay. We need to fill the vacancies that will be created by her retirement, which is there's a vacancy rate presently. So we're short an advocate currently. I do have a corollary position that there's a temporary person on staff right now that is a temporary coordinator waiting for the county to decide what we're going to do on this whole plan. So, but the answer to your question is there will be the need to fill both of those vacancies. Right now we're one advocate down. If Mr. Stute gets transferred over to the position, we would be two advocates down. So those people would be coming in at the lower end of the payroll schedule. In essence, we could fund two for the price of the people that we're paying that have retired or will be transferred.
Let me help clarify. $40,000 was placed in the 2014 budget for the purpose of contracting out in the hopes of finding someone who was retired and wanted to pick up that work. That money has been seized from the budget transfer is being moved into personnel budget for the district attorney. In addition, Sandy Bertelli retired on April 15th. Around then, her replacement, we believe, and is a person who is currently working as the interim victim witness coordinator. That's Heather Beasy. She is a longtime victim witness professional and more than qualified to take over the job. Brian's income is kind of the wild card in all of this. When Brian moved from being a corrections officer to being a social worker five, it was all part of a union negotiation with what was then 990 Professional Union, which represented the social workers. So the social workers had made an accretion action to pull the victim witness folks into their union. And that was negotiated, and in fact, they landed there. And so when Brian was earning social worker five money, he was being paid over and above what the negotiated rate was because he laterally moved. They didn't want anybody to lose cash, okay? So what the case is now is that new victim witness coordinators, the new hires that were replaced, Brian and fill the Heather Beasy position, will earn social worker one wages, which was the original negotiation. So he maintained a red circle and suffered no wage impact as part of that negotiation. But the new folks who come in the victim witness come in at a social worker one, which we believe was market competitive at that time. So that's where the money comes from. And then this position will be placed in the budget for 2015, and as you always do, you will get a list of budgets and or a list of positions and wages, and it will be fully funded in the 2015 budget.
Okay. All right. Anything further?
Move to approve.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Right, we'll circulate the resolution, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll, are the bills being circulated?
Okay,
it's
upside down.
Okay. All right, the next item would be
reports.
And do you have something?
Yeah, well, we'll let it. I'll start with reports.
All right.
One on your desk was, is an updated, last month we came in with the general fund report. We found another adjustment prior to the audit, which raised the general fund by almost an additional 200,000. We are now at 11,588, or about 20% of our general fund spending, as opposed to, I think we're a little over 19 last time. So 3% over the county board policy of 17%. But this is just an updated report to adjust for that little less than $200,000 adjustment. The other thing, in the other report, I really don't have a report to make, but it didn't go out in your packet. We have the February and March county clerk's reports. Those are on your desk. Sorry.
All right. One item probably worth noting on your general fund information sheet here is the increase in tax delinquencies, because that certainly... there are a lot of positives being said about the community's financial health, and there are a lot of improvements and developments, but this is another side to that picture that should not be forgotten. That's a big increase, and with an increase like that, it tells you that there are a lot of people who are unemployed, who aren't making enough money to pay their taxes.
Yes, if not for tax delinquencies, using the 2005 base, our general fund would be at 28%. I just want to point out one other thing on your desk is the human services report from Lori. She could not be here tonight, but she wanted to distribute the report, and she will be at a future meeting to give you the update.
Thank you. Thank you. Could you,
I will
the meeting give the board members a
yes, this will be out in the packet.
Terry, sure. I got one last question. I read in the paper that the city is going to, we budgeted $100,000 for Wi-Fi, and now I see in the paper the city's going to do their own.
Right.
So do we save 100 grand then, or what?
Well, it's bonded money.
Yeah.
So. Well, but I mean, it's still, we're not going to spend it, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But the other thing is, the way we budget IT is we budget to have to reduce it by about 300,000 anyway, so any savings just helps us close that gap. So.
We fought for the money for him, and then he threw it back.
Yeah, us, huh? that did happen, unfortunately.
All right. Anything else, Al, on the budget?
No, that's all.
Dave?
We had a discussion on a capital item that had to do with public safety parking, and in June we'll bring a resolution to the committee on that. And it was a $60,000 cost that related to, I think, gates for that.
Well, we didn't do the gates. We did a, what did they do? They put?
Well, we're bringing a resolution to amend the budget to eliminate that from the budget.
Okay, but what did we end up doing? Giving them passes, right?
Stickers.
Well, we'll, you know, what we do now will be administrative, and it won't require board approval.
Yeah.
You know, we'll.
Yeah, no, I said I don't think that I remember.
There's a contract we have between the county and the city. It's the intergovernmental agreement on joint services, and that determines who manages the parking and that. So, so that'll guide what we do. But there was $60,000 budgeted for the gates, and that's in the budget now, so we could do that. I mean, we still could do that, but we're going to bring a resolution in to eliminate that from the budget.
Al, if the increase in tax delinquencies is 568, what are the tax delinquencies?
Pardon, I'm not.
So, it's an increase in tax delinquencies.
What's the total?
What would be the total if that's the increase?
Well, current tax delinquencies are 7 million.
Yeah. So total 7 million.
The increase was 4.6. The baseline was the 2005 budget of 3.3. Sheet of glass.
So it went from 3.3 to 7 million. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jeff.
I just want to make sure that, Dave, when you bring a resolution to eliminate the $60,000, that you bring an explanation of how that's going to work. Because I talked to people that really didn't think the sticker situation would work.
Well,
so it's all well and good to say we don't want to spend $60,000, but we need to have an alternative plan for what we're going to do for that then.
The alternative plan isn't anything that would require board approval. I mean, that can be discussed, but that's up to joint services how to manage that. So they have to.
I agree, the sticker thing ain't going to work either.
They have to determine how they're going to manage it.
Ain't going to work.
That's by, according to the contract, joint services manages that.
So what you're saying is they should budget $60,000 for gates and then we should split it, or what do you, I don't
know. Well, I'm not saying anything other than the IGA says joint services manages the parking. So that's according to the contract, we have joint services manages the parking.
I'm not checking stickers.
However, right, well, joint services right, wants to manage not. The parking.
I'll do my research before yeah. we go to that. That's fine.
However they manage the parking, I'm not going to tell joint services how to manage the parking. But the contract says they manage the parking.
All right, anything further? Anything further?
No, I didn't have anything.
And Bob, is there anything on personnel?
Nothing else.
All right, anything else on your list of reports?
No, I think we covered everything we wanted to make.
Do we have to sign some audit to build or something?
That should be going around. Oh, there it is. There.
I didn't get
here
it.
Here it is. You're right. Stop materials.
Stop it.
All right. Any other business tonight? And stay a few minutes and just sign this if you would.
It'd be nice
else?
When this goes paperless.
How are we going to sign it then?
Not for committee.
How are we going to sign it then?
We're
going to
go paperless.
Yeah, I'll stall.
I think it's second.
I'm not going at all. Because I'm not going to stand up right here.
All right, any other business?
We got a second already.
Yeah, but some of the stuff you've got to get something right.
This is signed.
All right.
I don't know how this is going to work.
You can do e-sign.
Motion to adjourn.
Yeah,
it is. They won't even need us. Got our pay too out of the budget, huh?
We have to do it all at once.
That's
any other business to come before the meeting before we vote on their motion to close? And
Terry just wants us to stay.
When you start doing
that. I don't know.
It's still daylight. I want to start doing business.
All right, yeah, good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Actually, everyone.
There you go. You can still get that. Get three holes.
I don't know. I don't golf.
Everyone gets to come in through the
table.
And you, all you have to do is.